Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. I think this will be a very familiar verse to you, and as we say with any time we have a verse that's very familiar, take some time to listen to it with new ears. See what you hear that perhaps you haven't heard before. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all round them. There were many, very many, lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John this morning, as was the first reading. This is also a very familiar reading to us. It's one that we often read this time of year as the Lenten season comes to a close and we approach those days that we call Holy Week. So let us listen to this story from the 11th chapter of John. It actually goes for 45 verses, and I'm not going to read all of those. I will summarize some of the story as I read. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." And then Jesus' disciples enter this conversation, and they say, "Jesus, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" And Jesus says, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk in the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." And his disciples eventually give in to Jesus and say, but let us go with him. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us also go, that we may die with him. And Jesus arrives there in Bethany to find a crowd of people weeping because Lazarus has died. They have already placed him in the tomb. And Mary and Martha are overcome with grief. And it finally comes to the place in the passage where it says, then Jesus was greatly disturbed, but he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. For the word in creation, and for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Death is in the air in a way that most of us have never known. We can sense it, some more than others, but however we sense it, it is real. It is real for over 31,000 people around the globe. It is real for over 2,000 people in the United States and their families and friends. It took 1 month for the United States to have 1,000 deaths from the COVID-19 virus. But it only took 2 days for that number to double. As many people hoard supplies, buy guns, sequester themselves, and even act as if nothing is wrong, or that God will save them because they are special, as all these go on, the question haunts us: who will live and who will die? Because we know that some will live and some will die. But the real answer to that question is all of us. All of us live and all of us die. It's the ascent, it is essential to the human condition. Death is certain if we are alive. And into this human dilemma comes Ezekiel and Lazarus. What are we to make of these stories? This story of dry bones and this story of a bound up body. If we take them literally, they can be rather cruel. making promises that most people never experience. Because most of us, if not all of us, have had the experience of a loved one or a friend dying. And it is very final. So these stories can be quite cruel if we take them literally. However, if we take them figuratively and within the context that they are told, they become stories of great hope. Ezekiel is living in a time of exile. Ezekiel lived in the time of the great Babylonian exile of the nation of Israel. And he was taken into exile, so he becomes a prophet from exile. So when he shares this vision of this valley of dry bones, he is sharing it within the context of the entire nation in exile. The entire nation longing to be back to their homeland, longing to be back to Jerusalem. And the vision is of dry bones in a valley that have no breath. They have no life. And this is how the nation of Israel feels at this time. But the story is told to inspire the people with hope, to tell them that it will not always be this way. That those dry bones will again have breath. They will again have life. And that the exile will one day be over and they will return to Jerusalem. The story of Lazarus takes place within a similar context of the Roman occupation of the land of Palestine, the Roman oppression of the Jewish people. The whole story of the gospel takes place within this context. And this is a story to inspire people that death will not keep them from having life, that they will live. Even within occupation, even under oppression, that death cannot overcome life. It is a statement against the imperial powers of the day. Death will not overcome life. Exile always has its homecoming. These stories are stories of hope, even though they are grounded in despair. In many ways, the stories tell us that if we are to have hope, we must embrace the despair in which we live. I have to share with you that this whole COVID-19 experience became very personal last week for me. No, I did not have a family member or a close friend test positive or die. But what I did do was listen and read and here are some of the things that are being proposed and some of the things that are being said in our nation surrounding this whole simple, oversimplified idea that the cure is worse than the disease. Within that little euphemism, lies this understanding that some people in the world are expendable while others are not. And the way this has all been presented to us, and the way it seems to be playing out, is that the expendable ones happen to be people who are 60 or older. Some people put it at 65 or older. The number is arbitrary, but the fact is that people are saying there is a certain segment of our culture, our society, primarily older people, who are somehow expendable. One person even said that all of us who are in that category should just go out and start working. We go out and do the jobs that are needed to be done so that the younger people can live. People are being asked to risk their lives for the economy. Risk their lives for the stock market. I find this very troubling, but I also see it as a pattern that is being set up in our culture today. It's a pattern where our leaders, the leaders in our own country, the leaders in other countries, the leaders in our states, are pitting people against other people. It's being done by pitting one generation against another. It's being done by pitting one social class against another, one ethnicity against another ethnicity, geographies against other geographies. My goodness, we have states battling today as to who can come and go from which state. And this is being encouraged and set up by the leaders of our country. We are being pitted against each other to choose life or choose death, the way they put it. And they're saying that some lives are expendable in this whole process. Well, I would like to suggest to us today that in these stories of life and death, of exile and homecoming, we see a biblical model for us. And that model is that we are all in it together. We are not pitted against one another. We all live on the same earth. I had this vision of a modern day vision, if you will, of Ezekiel, perhaps on the surface of the moon, looking back at the globe floating in the darkness of space and having this vision of dry bones. And the voice of God coming to Ezekiel and saying, "Those dry bones will live." I had this vision of Jesus coming to a tomb in which all of humanity is trapped in fear, saying, "Roll away the stone, come out. Unbind." These are stories about us in this time of fear. And my friends, there is a great deal of fear today. Make no doubt about it. Even the bravado and the braggadocio of our leaders is grounded in fear. And Ezekiel and Jesus come to us saying, choose life. Choose hope. Because the Spirit of God moves among dry bones. The Spirit of God moves in and around the tombs of death and fear. Choose life. Choose hope. I couldn't help but think of a poem when contemplating my remarks this morning. It's a poem that many of you are familiar with. It's definitely one that people of my generation would be familiar with. It's a poem by Dylan Thomas. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end know dark is right, because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight and learned too late, they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men near death who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on the sad height, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. God tells Ezekiel, I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. Jesus says to Lazarus, take away the stone. Come out. Unbind him. My friends, we are living in days of dry bones and tombs. But the light will overcome darkness. Choose light. Choose life. For everyone, everywhere. Amen. Today, we hear words of hope. Real hope. Not false hope, not magic words that our troubles will magically go away. Or that if we just ignore things and try to act as we've always acted, things will be okay. Not false hope, but real hope. Hope that invites us to live in that valley of bones, to live in the tomb. Because when it comes down to it, that is the central message of the cross and the resurrection. And as we wind up these days of Lent, we must remember that the road to the empty tomb always leads through Jerusalem, through crucifixion. That is the message of the gospel. But at the end, there is always hope. Hope shining bright. Go in peace. Amen.